Take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn with me to a very familiar passage of Scripture, but something the Lord's laid upon my heart to encourage us with tonight. Now turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. And then while you found that, hold your finger there and find Mark chapter 1. And then if you have a third finger, look to Luke chapter 4. You know, like they used to say, let your fingers do the walking. So, familiar passage is the Lord Jesus going into the wilderness. And I first consider tonight lessons from our wildernesses. Lessons from our wilderness. Matthew chapter 4, as we start verse 1. Then was Jesus, and notice this next phrase, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was after and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, Jesus, answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up. Lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And hold your place there, and let's look over to Mark chapter 1, referring to the same incident. I'll just read two verses, Mark chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. And immediately the Spirit driveth him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered unto him. Now let's go over to Luke chapter 4, read two verses there, verses 13 and 14. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out of the fame of him through all the region round about. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Lord, you know the need of every heart here tonight. And Lord, we know that you are well able to take care of any situation we are dealing with. We ask for your understanding. We ask for your Spirit's teaching us. And Lord, that we may truly just glean from this passage truths that will encourage us. And in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Six different main thoughts I'd like for us to share tonight. And I know you may think six. Man, we're going to be here. Hope you brought your evening snack. But I'd like for us to consider several different things from a little bit of a, maybe a different angle, hopefully, but it will be encouragement to all of us. The first thing I'd like for us to consider is the wilderness preparation. The wilderness preparation, meaning how God was preparing Jesus to go out into the wilderness. Now, notice something we see here. And all the passages, basically all of them, it says, and Jesus was led up of the Spirit. In other words, he was in the center of God's will for his life. And as he was in the center of God's will, God was leading him into this wilderness experience. Now, we need to understand that as you think about all, we're going to think more about the different types of aspects of the wilderness, is that as we are striving with all of our heart to be in the center of God's will, there will be times God's going to lead us through the wilderness. There will be times in our lives that we're going to feel like Jesus, I am in a wilderness. And we think, well, if I messed up or something, have I done something wrong? Why am I here? Well, just need to again remember, it says here, he was led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness. I mean, you think about also Job. What does it say about Job? Before all those things hit him, all those calamities hit him, what did it say about Job? He was a perfect and upright man, and then God sicked the devil on him. And he lost everything. He lost his health, he lost his wealth, he lost his family, but he was right with God. So a lot of times we will go through wilderness wondering, Lord, what's happened? Have I done something bad? And while there is a difference between being in the center of God's will and going into a wilderness compared to chastisement. Chastisement was when God deals with us about a particular sin in our life. You know, it's just like, you know, when you discipline your children. You're not like one father. I remember one father, he had two boys. And they were little tykes at this time, and he didn't really practice it. He was kind of jesting, but he said, you know, every boy needs a spanking every day. If the dad doesn't know why, the boy does. All right? So, you know, it's not like God just doesn't chastise because he thinks we need it. When we're chastised, it's because God is dealing with something particular in our life. And I believe the Holy Spirit will say, just like we did with David. David went through a lot of pain. Why? Because God chastised him for a particular sin. Going into the wilderness is not that. Going into the wilderness as you're led of the Spirit, seeking to walk with God, and then all of a sudden you wind up in this wilderness experience. So that's what we call wilderness preparation. And the one thing we always should strive to do, Lord, I want to be in the center of your will. I want to walk with you the best that I can and close as I can. And even in the midst of that, God's going to lead us into a wilderness experience. And the second thing I'd like for us to consider is wilderness defined. Wilderness defined. Now, when you think of a wilderness, I mean, listen to whatever studying you've been able to do. Let's think of the wilderness that Jesus would have gone into. It was a place that was very desolate. Very desolate. He was out there all alone. There weren't hardly any trees. It was rocky. It was dry. What we read in Mark chapter 1, it says he was there with a wild beast, so it could be a scary situation. It could have been a lonely situation. Could have been a challenging landscape to try to get around. And all those negatives going on. And so as we think about the wilderness defined, it was desolate, it was scary, it was dry, and it was challenging. Of course, now when I think about the idea where it says that it was scary. Kind of reminds me back when we owned our farm in West Virginia. You know, our house was in the middle of a pasture which was surrounded with woods. We had hundreds of acres and all around us. And one of my favorite things to do was to take what I called my prayer walks. And I'd go out and hike in the woods for, you know, maybe an hour or two. Just really refresh my spirit, time with the Lord. But the one thing I always did as I remembered the story of a young man that actually the Lord gave me the privilege of leading to the Lord when he was young and baptized him, that he was out bow hunting one time close there, and as he was walking, going to his tree stand, he inadvertently walked right into the middle of a pack of sleeping coyotes. And as they woke up, their natural instinct, they started circling him like that. And if you know anything about bow hunting, that's not gun hunting. And so here he's. And so every time I've heard of that story, when I go out in the woods, I always carried. I had my World War II K-bar that my Uncle Joe gave me from the Marine Corps on one hip and my 9mm on the other, in case that ever happened to me, because I figured that was a whole lot better than bow. And in case you're wondering what happened to the guy, he found a big stick and hit one of them and killed him, and that scared the rest of them off. So he was okay. But that was out in a sense, that was my wilderness, and it was scary. Well, Jesus was there with the wild beasts. And so that's the wilderness defined. And it's saying, well, what kind of wilderness experiences do we go through? It could be a lot of things. As you're walking in the will of the Lord, things are going fine, and then you wind up losing your job. Things are going well, everybody is happy, so to speak, and then you lose your health. You know, it's a scary thing. Get the diagnosis, like Brother Stan, with debilitating MS. That's scary. My wife having stage 4 cancer. That's scary. And all the other different types of health, losing her health, it's scary. Thing. What's going to happen to me? What do I need to do? And that could be a wilderness experience. It could be that you lose a relationship. I mean, the best you know how. You've tried to be a good Christian in relationship, and maybe through death or through our divorce or just whatever it may be, there's a loss of relationship. Or maybe you're in a challenging, just like, you know, I'm sure the wilderness was a challenging experience for a person to go through. Maybe you're in a very challenging situation. Maybe it's a challenging position at work. Maybe it's a challenging in a relationship with a person. And so as you're trying to be at the center of God's will, please Him, here you are, here I am in this wilderness experience. In the center of God's will. I was thinking about also another challenge, like the Brian talked about, trying to get their house done. I'm sure that was challenging. Or situations like that. That's our wilderness defined. And as we seek to be in the perfect center of God's will, striving to please Him and love Him and honor Him, God will lead us through a wilderness experience. And the third thing I'd like for us to consider is the wilderness experience purpose. The purpose of a wilderness experience. As I was thinking about this, the Lord reminded me of a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now you remember the story of the people of Israel and how they were in Egypt. God brought them out. Great miracles He performed. He brought them out, and we remember how that they refused to believe Him and trust Him about going into receiving the promised land. So God said, okay, you're going to wander for 40 years. We get to, and then when they get to the end of it, we get the book of Deuteronomy, which means the second given of the law, where Moses is preaching at him, and he reminds them of something. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, God's word says this. And Moses is preaching, he says, and He, God, humbled thee. Let me see if I got the right verse. No, excuse me, verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee, and notice what it says, and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. He's reminding them, God led the people of Israel into the wilderness to test them, to prove them, to find out what they really were like. I mean, when I think about how Israel was, you know, you read in the book of Joshua chapter 1, and the people of Israel tell Joshua, just like we followed Moses, we're going to follow you. That would not be any leader's good words to hear. But anyhow, so they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. And the purpose of it is for God was wanting to test them to see if they were going to continue to follow Him. And you know, when God leads us through a wilderness experience, you know one thing that He's trying to do? He's trying to test us to see if we're going to follow Him even in a wilderness experience. I'm sure all of us know people that were faithful in church and serving the Lord in church, doing good, and then bam, something difficult happens in their life and they quit on God. What did that reveal? It revealed their heart. It revealed where they really were in their commitment to serving the Lord, walking with Him. And that's what God is doing in our lives. He's wanting to reveal to ourselves, because we know God already knows. He's omniscient. But He's wanting to reveal to ourselves how weak we may be, how lack of faith we may be, how willing we are to obey Him that we may be. And so the wilderness, the purpose of the wilderness is to reveal our own heart. But you know another reason I think that God uses the wilderness experience? What was one word that Satan used every time when he tempted Him? Just one little tiny word. If. Well, if this. The devil was trying to get Jesus, and which is the same thing he does in you and me when we go through the wilderness. He's trying to test to see, what do we really believe about God? What do we really believe about who God is? That's one of the reasons I felt led for us to sing tonight, Holy, Holy, Holy. One of the most powerful songs I think we could ever sing. because it just speaks the greatness of who God is. And we must have a solid concrete in our heart, in our soul, an understanding of who God is, or we won't make it through our wilderness experiences. So the purpose of the wilderness is to reveal our heart and also to reveal what we really believe about God. Excuse me. The fourth thing I'd like for us to consider are the wilderness questions. As we look at each one of those temptations, I think it revealed a question that the Satan was trying to tempt us to doubt God about. When you think about turning the bread into stone, again, being out in the wilderness, I mean, there were rocks everywhere. And so I'm sure some of them may have looked like a nice loaf of bread. And Satan tried to tempt him. Well, why don't you just turn it into the bread? I'm sure you're hungry after 40 days without food. And he said, if. You know, I think there's always many things we can glean from it. But I think one of the things the devil is trying to get to question, do you believe God's good enough to meet your needs? Do you believe God's good enough that he's going to take care of you? If your God, it says who he is, do you think he's going to take care of you? Is he going to, you lose your job, do you think he's going to provide for you? You get sick, you think God's going to give you the grace to get through it? And so I think one of the questions the devil tries to get us when we're in that wilderness, do you really believe God is good? Do you really believe, excuse me, that God is good? What's that in that one movie, God is Not Dead? I don't think anybody drank out of this water. If I get sick, we know something happened. But in that movie, God is Not Dead, where they were talking to each other, God is, how was it? God is always good, and always God is good. Do we really believe that? When those wilderness experiences come our way, and God's through the spirits, we're in the center of God's will, and we hit this wilderness experience, do we really believe God is good? Do we really believe God will take care of us? That he'll meet our needs? That's where the devil is trying to he'll try to get us to question, and it'll be a real test. Do we really believe that? Do we believe that that is what typifies God? When we think of the second temptation about, jumping off and God's going to protect you and dash your foot against the stone and God's going to protect you. You think he will? You think God will protect you? Well, God's sovereign. Sure he can. And I think that's another question that the devil, he said, if, do you think God will take care of you and protect you while you're in the wilderness? While you're dealing with those scary times, those desolate times, those challenging times, do you think God's big enough to take care of you? I believe that what we put in theological ways is, do you believe God's sovereign? I mean, I've thought about this before. How many times you get on a trip and say, Lord, give us safety as we travel? Well, if you have a wreck, does that mean God wasn't strong enough to take care of you? We need to remember God has a purpose in anything and everything he does, either what he does or what he allows. He is sovereign. And those wilderness experiences will test us if we truly, really, really believe it. So is it, do you believe God is good? Do you believe God is sovereign? And then thirdly, when he's talking about going, showing him all the kingdoms, says, if you'll fall down and worship me, I'll give this all to you. You know what, Satan, we've thought of this before, but what was Jesus, when he came to this earth, what did he come for? One final end thing that he came for is to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Satan knew that. You think of many of the prophecies where it talks about how Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so Satan said, look, if you'll do it my way, you can have it right now. But Jesus knew that if he wanted to please the Father, he had to do it God's way. That God's way is better. God's way is best. God's way is right. So I'd like to kind of think about, this is a question of, do you believe God is wise? Do you believe that God is wise, that his way is always what's right and what's best? And that'll be a test. When we're going through this wilderness experience, you know, and we think, Lord, here I was just trying to serve you and please you, and then this is happening. What in the world are you doing? Do you know what you're doing, God? God blesses us when we trust his wisdom about how to live a godly life. See, our goal may be, Lord, I want to be able to hear you say, well done, and thou good and faithful servant. Okay, well then we're going to have to do it God's way. Or a person may have a goal, say, I want my business to be successful and I want to make money and I'll tithe it. You know what the devil will do? He'll try to tempt you to violate biblical principles in order to achieve that goal. To get us to question the wisdom of God. I found some old tapes of a men's retreat that's held at the Anchorage many years ago, and Dr. Bob Wood was preaching, and he gave told this story. It was such a good illustration about how it's always best to trust God's way. That there was this man that had a significant amount of wealth. He built him a motel just outside of Spartanburg. And as he built it, things were going well. Well, there was a factory just down the road. And what happened is that factory, when they'd have guests or different people come in, they'd bring them to his hotel. And about 50% of his income on this motel was from this company. He had made a purpose in his heart. There would be no alcoholic beverages whatsoever at this motel. So after two or three years, this company came to him. He said, look, we've got some very important people coming over from Europe. And you know how they are in Europe. They drink beer like we drink tea. And so you won't have to do a thing. We'll buy the alcoholic beverages, bring them, and do the serving. We'll clean up. There won't be anything left. We'll take care of it. We'll just let you, let us, again, rent the rooms. So he prayed about it, knew what the purpose in his heart, and he went back and said, no, I'm not going to do it. They said, well, okay, well, we're going to go to the motel across town. And he knew that to do that, since that was 50% of his income, something was going to happen. And sure enough, about two or three years later, as his wealth started going down and down and down, he had no idea what to do. This company came to him and said, look, we're paying out so much money to that other motel, we figured out that we'd be better off if we'd buy your hotel. And so he thought of a good, fair market value, and sure enough, they bought it. And there he was. The Lord took him out of that situation because he stood firm. But the story doesn't end there. He takes the profit from that and he goes to Chattanooga and builds another one. Things are going well. About 4 or 5 years later, the president of that particular company called him up, mad as a hornet. You ever seen a mad hornet? You know, like it is when you're a teenager walking through the woods, you see a hornet's nest, and you want to know what happened when you throw a rock at it, and then you run like crazy. Well, this guy was mad because you knew what was going to happen. He said, what are you talking about? You just knew what was going to happen when you sold us that motel. What are you talking about? He said, they just rerouted the main road in front of us to another direction, and we've lost almost all of our business, and we're going in the hole. And he said, sir, I had no idea, but my partner did. He said, well, I want to talk to your partner. He said, well, I'd love to introduce you to my partner. It's about God. What did God do for him? Because he stood firm and did it God's way. God knew that that place was going to go down because of the rerouting of the main interstate. God protected him because he did it God's way. Folks, we need to understand, as God goes through, he takes us through a wilderness experience, we must always trust God's wisdom. Must always trust God's ways. That's what blesses him and blesses us. And that was the test that the devil was doing for Jesus, and he'll do it in your life and mine. As we're in the center of God's will and we go through that wilderness, that's what, do you believe God is good? Do you believe God is sovereign? Do you believe God is wise? That's the questions a wilderness experience will produce. But then let's get the fifth point I'd like for us to consider is the wilderness victory. The wilderness victory. Of course, we all know what Jesus did. Every temptation that came to him, he quoted God's word. He threw the word of God at the devil through his word. Now, you know something about a person's word? A person's word is only as good as that person's what? Character. Who is more trustworthy than God? Who is more holy than God? So if God gives us his word, we can trust his word because it's God's word. So when we go through the wilderness experiences, let us trust what God has to say about it because his character backs up his word and his word gives us the answers we need in dealing with our wilderness experiences. And so, yes, that's part of it. But you know what? Even far greater than that, our wilderness experience, well, we will have victory on it through it only if we have a correct image of who God is. A correct image of who God is. Just like I referred to earlier, that one of the purposes of it is to really reveal what we believe about God. The way we get victory through our wilderness experiences is understanding and having a correct biblical view of who God is. That is such an important thing that we need to get concreted in our heart. Do I truly believe that God is good? Do I truly believe God can take care of me? Do I truly believe that God's way is best? Our wilderness experience, we'll have victory in it if we're truly concrete and steadfast in believing who God is based upon what the Bible says He is. Like we sang tonight, holy, 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 merciful and mighty, perfect in power, in love and purity. The only, only God. Oh, folks, oh, how we need to just saturate our hearts, our souls in the Word of God so we can get a more concrete reality of who God is. Because when we have a concrete image of who God is, it doesn't matter what kind of wilderness experience we go through, no matter what the devil may throw at us, we'll be victorious. We'll please God. We'll honor God. And we need to remember something. God honors those that honor Him. God honors those that honor Him. And then one thing we need to remember too in all that, remember God loves us. Remember that God loves us. That makes a big difference when we think about what God's doing in our lives. Just like any parent that truly loves their children, even when they they discipline them or try to train them and teach them, we're doing it because of our love and compassion for them. And that's part of knowing who God is. Yes, He's wise. Yes, He's sovereign. Yes, He's good. And He is a God of love that loves His children. But you know, there was one thing also as far as victory is concerned. We need to remember something else that was said here, kind of going in a totally different direction. It said, verse 11, then the devil leaveth him. But when you go over to Luke chapter 4, it added another phrase. It says there, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. Just because we get victory in one wilderness experience doesn't mean that's the only test. And being able to have victory in our wilderness experiences, realize, be prepared for the next one. And apply the same biblical principles to the next one, though it may be different than the one you just had victory through. But you need to remember, folks, the devil's never going to leave us alone. The more we strive to please God, the more we try to honor God, you can be assured the devil is going to be after us. I mean, you think, yes, the devil was after him on this when he was in the wilderness, but you think after that, how many ways the devil tried to get Jesus? I mean, the Pharisees were against him left and right. They had a multitude of people coming to him, but then they departed once he started teaching and preaching more truth. I mean, there's so many ways the devil was after him. And then he had Judas betray him. The devil will not leave us alone till the Lord takes us home to glory. We will have those wilderness. The more we try to please God, serve God, be in the center of God's will, the devil will try to tempt us to violate biblical truths. But we get victory if we keep applying who God is. And then lastly, what is one of the blessings of being victorious through this wilderness experience? What does it say in Luke chapter 4, verse 14? This was after it was all over. And this is, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. You know one reason God leads us into the wilderness experiences? Because if we apply biblical truths, we trust Him, we obey Him, what it does is it prepares us to be used by God. See, if we truly are saved and truly want to honor God, we're going to have a desire, we want to be used by God. In whatever way we can. I mean, it doesn't mean being as just a preacher or a pianist or a song leader or a deacon or Sunday school teacher. There are many ways. God has a purpose for every single one of His children and wants to use each and every one of us where He has us. He may want to just use you as a missionary to your neighbors where you live. He may want to use you as a missionary where you work. So if we truly want to be used by God, we've got to go through that wilderness experience in a way that honors God. And when we do, just like it says, and then Jesus went in the power of the Spirit. There's something about walking with God and obeying Him and trusting Him that it empowers us to be a more effective vessel in His hand. And that's what God did for Jesus. It said He went after this, He went in the power of the Spirit. So many times we rob ourselves of greater effectiveness because we go through that wilderness. Instead of honoring God with it, we get bitter, we get angry. We don't trust God. We don't obey God. Like a lot of people, you know, they just quit on God, not realizing we're losing the opportunity to be a greater vessel in the hands of God. That's what God wants to do in your life and mine. Empower us to be a greater vessel. Let me tell you, I'm sure all of us would agree, we're definitely living in some challenging times. And it's going to get worse. And I'm saying that from a theological perspective, let alone the political environment, and cultural environment we're in. I mean, the Bible says the latter days are going to be terrible times. I mean, I was just reading in a paper where it's all, in China, it's almost like they have already received the mark of the beast because it said that how the persecution is becoming so widespread in China that preachers are removing their ID chips that they have in their ID card. Every person has to have this ID chip and an ID card. And if you don't have it, you can't ride a plane, you can't ride a train, you can't rent an apartment, and you can't get a job. So these pastors are destroying them because the China government is using it to track these preachers. Folks, is that not just the forerunner of the mark of the beast? I believe firmly, my personal belief is that I believe that we're going to miss that, praise the Lord, but that doesn't mean we're not going to still go through a lot of tribulation before that time hits. And we better be ready. How can we be ready? By being empowered by the Holy Spirit of God as we go through the wilderness experiences, trusting Him and obeying Him. Because that's what God did for Jesus. That's what He wants to do for you and me. Because this world needs Christians that are empowered by the Holy Spirit to reflect who God is. It says, I've repeated several times. We're going to sing in closing verse in a minute. God just simply wants us to trust and obey. Trust. Trust who God is and obey His leading and see what God can do through a vessel that trusts Him and obeys Him. Just bow for a word of prayer. Oh, Father, how we praise You for the great God that You are. Oh, how we praise You for loving us. Oh, how we praise You for Your goodness, Your sovereignty, Your wisdom. And Lord, I'm sure there's some right now that are going through a wilderness experience. Oh, Father, may You encourage them. May You concrete in their hearts and their spirits of who You are. And Lord, may we truly reflect to the world how great a God You are. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of serving You. We thank You so much for the honor and the opportunity to represent You to this lost and dying world. And Lord, again, concreted deeply in our souls how great You are. Give us Thy grace, Father, that we may trust You and obey You. To You be the glory. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.